I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Happy Tuesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 4 hour zero gravity gala. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Topeka to Tampa, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air.
Hey, listen, DA. Everything we say in DA, everything.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams with their help. They can help you too. Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. How we doing, everybody? Thanks so much for joining us. Tis a Trash Tuesday. And so, reflect back on your last week. Reflect on the NFC Championship game, the AFC Championship game, the NFL playoffs in general, the NBA, the NHL, college basketball, and think about what's eating you. Think about your life in general, your workplace, your family, your friends. The traffic you face on a daily basis, your commute. Think about the weather. Think about your kids. Think about anything that bothers you. Think about your parents. Think about anything that bothers you. And come here, because we are here to vent, commiserate with one another. It's a Trash Tuesday. So anything that you feel rising to the surface that you need to get off of your chest, you do it today and you do it here. Because this is a four-hour therapy session today. There are two ways you can vent with us. The phones or on Twitter. I will read through tweets throughout the morning. And we'll also do our trashes coming up here in hour number three. But so here is the gateway to the trashes on Twitter. Follow me. And hit me up, DA on CBS. That's the Twitter handle, DA on CBS. On the phones, phone lines are open. It's toll free. You call in, you've got a vent, you want to complain, this is your platform. 855-212-4227. 855-212-4CBS. Coming up this morning on the show, Kadri Ismail is going to join us. The Missile, he's going to drop on by coming up in hour number three. Super Bowl 35 champion, as well as a Ravens analyst for WJZ-TV in Baltimore. We'll talk to Kadri about the upcoming Super Bowl in about 2 hours from now. Elsewhere this morning, should the NFL allow the Niners to throw their 94 throwbacks on? Andy Reid celebrates with food. Is it better than Ed Ogeron's ham sando?
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
Rob Lowe's hat. Amazing or ridiculous?
Oh, okay.
And do the Miami Hurricanes have their quarterback savior? All of that coming up this morning on the show. Plus, we are stunned to a new... To our news All of that coming up this morning on the show. Can we start with Super Bowl 54 and the biggest star in this game? It is not the handsome one, Jimmy Garoppolo. No, the biggest star in this game is obviously Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes, last year's NFL MVP, and on the precipice of becoming the best quarterback in the NFL if he isn't there already. Now, this is only year number 3 for him in the league and year number 2 as a starting quarterback. And you think about his success already, you've got a guy who has been an NFL MVP, who has done enough with that team to host consecutive AFC championship games, nearly took down the formidable Patriots last year in that AFC title game, led a stirring comeback and an amazing second half at Arrowhead. This year, coming back from injury, high ankle sprain, dislocated kneecap, to lead his team to the 2 seed and then ultimately 2 playoff wins and a Super Bowl appearance. Patrick Mahomes has had an unflappable, impeccable postseason career to this point in time. 3 wins, 1 loss, 4 tremendous performances, and worthy of winning all 4 of those games. These are his first 4 playoff games of his career. And yet, I hear some resistance to giving Mahomes all of the credit. And maybe this just has to happen in modern culture, that people can't be unified, in unison, consensus, that somebody deserves credit. Even somebody so obviously, objectively awesome as Mahomes, that there has to be somebody or some quadrant of fans or opinionists or commentators or the public that believes that somebody's got to get cut down a notch. Because what I'm hearing is that Mahomes wouldn't be able to do this without his weapons. That his weapons are so superior to everybody else's weapons that, of course, Mahomes is going to throw for a lot of yards and a lot of touchdowns in that offense. And that is the weapons that are making Mahomes. And you know what they say, clothes don't make the man makes the clothes. This is what we're talking about here. That Mahomes doesn't make the offense makes Mahomes? I heard this, and I said, well, this is just about the dumbest take I think I've ever heard. Now, we are, 11, 12 days away from Super Bowl 54, so there's going to be a lot of dumb takes. We've still got 12 days of this to go. And I think we've led off with one of the dumbest takes that we will hear over the next 2 weeks. Mahomes, a product of his weapons? It is where we begin your cold open.
Twist motion by the Titans with defensive pressure, but Mahomes has time here. He throws it long. He's got a man in the middle of the field. Watkins, 15, 10, 5, angling left. Touchdown, Kansas City, a 60-yard touchdown.
There was other plays in the game where he was making big-time catches, dragging his feet in bounds, catching the ball before he even turned around, it seemed like. And I think you see that if teams are going to put attention on other guys like Tyreek or Kelsey, that we have a guy in Sammy Watkins that can beat your corner every single day.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
Touchdown, Kansas City. Mitch Holthus on Chiefs Radio. That was, of course, Patrick Mahomes. Now, don't get me started here about Mahomes being a byproduct of his offense and of his weapons. This one's obvious. Mahomes makes his weapons, okay? And this is not to say those guys aren't talented. This is not to say they might not have success other places. Perhaps down the road we see Travis Kelce in the Hall of Fame one day. That is not crazy to think about. Perhaps one day we were talking about Tyreek Hill being one of the best game breakers of his generation. That's not crazy to suggest. But this idea that somehow those guys have been made or have been making Patrick Mahomes great is ridiculous. Look, Travis Kelce's caught 1,000 yards worth of footballs for four consecutive seasons. And the first two of those, obviously, Patrick Mahomes was not his starting quarterback. Alex Smith was. He's been really productive. And in that offense, in that Andy Reid scheme, the tight end is vital. And Kelce is athletic and he's powerful and he's really, really good. But let's not act as though Travis Kelce was on a Hall of Fame trajectory as the third pick out of Cincinnati, or the third round pick, rather, out of Cincinnati. He was a good tight end, but his first two seasons, 800 yards each season and five touchdowns apiece. It wasn't exactly taking off into Canton. And then the next 2 years, again, good, not great. The last two seasons, he's been virtually unstoppable with Patrick Mahomes. Let's look at Sammy Watkins. This was the fourth overall draft pick. The fourth overall pick. Now, you go ahead and you ask the Buffalo Bills fan, what do you think about Sammy Watkins? And likely they will say, bust, total bust. You realize that Sammy Watkins, as the fourth overall pick in his three seasons in Buffalo, cracked 1,000 yards only once. He was injured for most of his third season. His year in L.A. with the Rams, he caught less than 600 yards worth of passes. And now, even now, Sammy Watkins, who caught that huge touchdown pass on Sunday, hasn't even hit 700 yards in each of his seasons with the Chiefs. Neither one of his seasons, he's had more than three touchdowns. That's not exactly Jerry Rice. Let's bring up Mecole Hardman, drafted in the second round by the Chiefs. Again, this year, good guy, good player, 538 yards. 538. Let's stop acting as though these guys are Jerry Rice and T.O. and Randy Moss and Mike Ditka combined. They're not. Look, Tyreek Hill is an explosive player. But Tyreek Hill had less than 900 yards this season as well. It's not like Tyreek Hill is Julio Jones or Michael Thomas or a big, strong receiver that creates his separation with his size. He's a guy that in this offense has his speed taken advantage of in an impeccable way. He's explosive, no doubt, but he's explosive because of the quarterback he plays with by and large. And anybody that says, well, with all of these weapons, how could Patrick Mahomes not succeed? As though somehow he's not supposed to use the weapons on the field. Nobody says, well, Joe Montana's not that great. He had the greatest wide receiver ever. Nobody ever says, well, Tom Brady's not that great. He had perhaps the greatest tight end ever. No! Guess who Johnny Unitas had? One of the best tight ends ever, John Mackey, and one of the best ends ever in Raymond Berry. Guess who Montana had? Jerry Rice. Guess who Terry Bradshaw had? Two Hall of Fame wide receivers, Swan and Stallworth. Guess who Tom Brady had? Hall of Fame tight end. Let's not act as though great quarterbacks are not allowed to have great weapons. Oftentimes, they make those great weapons greater. So I'm not here to hear any of that. Mahomes is astonishingly awesome. And if you can't see that without chopping him down and trying to find something to compromise his success, it's your problem. The guy does everything. He has been the perfect quarterback for that offense and that head coach. That offense has taken it to a totally different level with Mahomes. And all you have to do is look back at the Alex Smith years. With Alex Smith, the offense was good, but never this good. Mahomes took it to a totally different level. And that's the quarterback. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. On Twitter, DA on CBS. When we return, yesterday was day one of the strike by Mraz, and a personal strike waiting for an apology from all of us here on the show. He was chomping at that bit. Chomping at that bit.
I'll drop dead!
He was chomping at the bit to get on the air, to be part of the show. Will today be the day that Mraz crosses his own picket line?
I'll drop dead!
We will discuss and see Where the Wind Blows next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
A no sweatpants at work zone.
The reason I've listened since overnight is you and Mraz bring the insight. You bring the honesty. You bring the stuff we want to hear. It is the cheese talk.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
The cheese talk. We got that.
Puffiness with sodium.
The cheese talk. We got a lot of that.
Itchy nipple chub rub.
Cheese talk. Here every single day, 6 until 10 a.m. Eastern Time. On CBS Sports Radio.
So many different emotions on so many different levels.
Fat.
You know how to get it. Every single day right here on CBS Sports Radio. On all of our wonderful terrestrial affiliates nationwide north of the border. Sirius XM 206. And listen
hubba,
to us.
Hubba.
On your phone. Use the radio.com app. The CBS Sports app. Apple Music, or watch us at watchda.com.
It's cheese on cheese on cheese.
Come on, Damon. Wake up.
It's a Trash Tuesday, so give us your trashes. Twitter, DA on CBS, or on the phone. It's at 855-212-4CBS.
Key Lardo, Key Lomo. Ooh, my pretty mama to Bahama, my mama.
Our toll-free line, sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote, geico.com. That's easy.
My mama.
Doug is next up. He's in Sacramento, listening on KNBR there in the Bay Area. Good morning, Doug.
Hey, good morning, man. Love your show, man. Hey, I wanted to comment on Patrick Mahomes' skill set.
Yes, sir.
I was watching some years back where John Gruden was still an analyst, and he was going over to quarterback camp of Patrick Mahomes, and he was showing some of the tape of him at Texas Tech. And what he kept saying was, where'd you get those skills from? And Patrick Mahomes said, from years from being a shortstop.
Yeah.
Playing baseball. And remember, he was also a pitcher. And so he's picking up this skill set from baseball and attributing it to football, because I played pitcher before, you know, little league and everything, and you have to know where you want that ball put over that plate and into that pitcher's glove, I mean, into the catcher's glove. So he was building a skill set. That's one. Two, how many of us know the names of the guys that he played with at Texas Tech?
Did Thank you.
Guys,
correct.
You know,
correct.
But they knew Patrick Mahomes. And so I've heard Skip Bayless with, I forget what the name of the program is called, along with Shannon Sharp, and he tries to diminish, and I really find it disrespectful, because you're taking away from the skill set and from the training of Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes even said, he said, you guys don't see all the training that goes on behind the scenes. He said that with John Gruden quarterback camp, and I would like people to look at some of his tapes. And to look at some of his, you know, he was playing Little League baseball. Smack.
Well, your point here on the baseball part of things is absolutely correct. When you see Mahomes put the ball in unique situations from creative angles, sidearm throws, that's all baseball. That is not traditional quarterback footwork. That is him squaring his body and then taking his arm strength and whipping it to the side like you would as a shortstop. That is absolutely that. And, of course, his dad played for nearly 20 years in Major League Baseball. So he has baseball in his genes, and you see that. That is not traditional quarterback footwork, leading with your shoulder, cocking back, throwing the football over your ear. No, that is squaring like a shortstop and flipping it to a base. Flipping it to get the runner. And you see that. And anybody that wants to diminish Patrick Mahomes' production or success right now is just, to me, either looking to stir the pot or completely idiotic. I don't see any reason to try to poke holes in that dude's game. That seems totally ridiculous. Joseph is next up. He's in Houston, listening on 650 here on CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Joseph. Who are you trashing today?
Oh, man, I am trashing my Patriots fans. They're throwing so much shade on Pat, and I think it's, you know, because they're butthurt, they're not in it this year, their goat's not in it. Well, you know, when I sat back and I watched them constantly demolish everybody on the other side of the ball for years and years, you know, I still gave Brady a lot of respect, you know, the hood, a lot of respect. I just don't understand where all the hate's coming from. Also, DA, good morning to you, Bogish and Pete. I'm on my way to New York, so if Mraz is still on strike, I'd like to come in and help out.
All right, very good. Trash him.
Beep, beep. Sanitation just arrived.
Look, the issue is Patriots fans are salty, and they're babies. And that's just the way that it's going to be for a long time. That's what makes the end of their dynasty so delightful, is that they have been so used to utter dominance for 20 years, they have not allowed themselves to give anybody else respect. If they lose, if they have lost over the last 20 years, it's not the opponent, it's their fault, the Patriots' fault. Something went against them, a bad break. Oh, Nick Foles, that's a farce. He's not that good. Oh, the Giants got lucky. Oh, Eli's not that good. Oh, Tyree, that's a lucky catch. Oh, Mario Manningham, that's a lucky catch. Oh, Joe Flacco had one good game. It's always something because they can't help but consider themselves entitled to championships. Oh, Peyton Manning couldn't beat us at home. Always something. And so they're not ready for this. They're childish babies. The vast majority of them never to give any credit to anybody else. This is the culture that has been wrought there. And so now when they see such an obvious passing of the torch, it is startling to them.
No, they're not that good. The Patrick Mahomes isn't that good. The Chiefs aren't that good. Andy Reid's not that good.
Because they're scared. They're terrified of the fact that it's over. And it is completely dead as a doornail over for that dynasty. They don't know how to handle it. And so be prepared for this. The Patriots fans in your life or on Twitter, on social media, will lash out and pick everybody else apart. Oh, they're not that good. Oh, this is a one-year wonder. Oh, they can't do this. We'll be back. We'll be back. They're whistling past the graveyard. It is so over, and they are scared. They are the scared bully that is finally no longer bigger than his peers. It's easy to beat up people and to taunt people when you're the six-foot kid in seventh grade. And then what happens when everybody else grows up? Easy to be the bully in fifth grade, and then suddenly you get to junior high. Uh-oh, you're not so tough anymore. And then you start going, yeah, but, you're not so tough. That's what is happening here. Be prepared for it. But it is over. It is definitively over. And every time you hear a Patriots fan not give respect, you know why? They're scared, childish people. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Lewis is in Oregon, listening on radio.com. Good morning, Lewis.
Hey, how's it going, DA?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. You know, I just want to have to, I want to trash coworkers who call in way early in the morning, so we have to go in, you know, just a little bit early to cover the shift for them. So can I trash those coworkers like that, Jay?
Yes, sir. Trash them.
Hold your nose. That's some smelly rubbish.
There you go, buddy.
Thanks, bud.
You got it, man. Anytime. Now, Andrew Bogish is standing by. He's a kind sir, warm eyes, wonderful glow. And
thank you.
You witnessed yesterday some history. We all did.
We did.
And that was our friend, our fine fleshy friend, Sean Mraz, executive producer of the DA show, go on strike. He's the only CBS sports radio employee ever to go on strike.
Correct.
7+ years of this network.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but he did this within days of finally officially joining the union in this fine establishment. Mm-hmm. I don't think this was SAG-AFTRA sanctioned yesterday. This was Sean going rogue.
Yes.
Did not get the support of the union at all in his endeavor yesterday.
No. So on Friday, Mraz demanded an apology from all of us here on staff, demanded an apology. He said that we were out of line poking fun at him for making fun of the Yankees losing the last 3 years in the playoffs. Now that we know that the Astros had cheated, he said he deserved an apology. And if he didn't get one by the close of business on Friday, that he was going to go on strike.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what ended up happening. We let that deadline come and go. We called his bluff. And at the end of Friday's show, his quote was, no, no, that's not how this works. No, you're supposed to apologize.
You're supposed to give in, I think is what he said.
So then yesterday he was on strike. He showed up to work because he didn't want to burn a vacation day.
And he would have because we know Pete's in charge of these things and Pete would have definitely docked him a day.
Got that right.
He shows up, but he does not do any work. We do not allow him to do any work because he's on strike.
So it's almost like a regular day.
Correct. Yeah, yes. Okay. Yes. He comes in. We have now slipped into his times, or into his seat, rather, a listener of ours named Ridgely who wanted to come witness the show, watch the show. I said, sure, but are you okay if you do a little work? And Ridgely says, sure. So he ends up sliding seamlessly into that chair and answering the phones.
Yeah.
He did a great job for 4 hours.
Tremendous job.
He did it better.
He did it better. So we ended up cutting tape. We ended up setting up sound check. We ended up doing everything, podcasting, all the normal things that Mraz does. Mraz did not do anything. This, however, had the unintended effect for Mraz. He did not feel as though he had won. He was not in control of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
He began losing his mind.
Yeah.
He unraveled mentally. He was totally scattered. He was antagonistic. He was combative. He was loopy. He was nonsensical. He, at one point, was physically wrestling Bilotti to get on mic. There was a wrestling match on the other side of the glass.
Yeah, there was.
It was a rage in the cage.
And he lost.
He needed a fix. He needed a fix yesterday. He was on a search for something to make him whole again. And can't stress this enough. He didn't do anything. He sat in a chair, raised a sign every once in a while.
Correct.
Yet was more tired and hungrier than usual. The physical toll that this strike, which again lasted for about 3 hours and 10 minutes, was overwhelming from a guy who likes to tell you how tough he is, a man of the people, blue collar, represent the working guy.
Hard hat guy.
3 hours of not working left him in a puddle.
Really 90 minutes of it, because he was ready to cross that picket line at 7:20 a.m. Eastern time.
This is true.
7:20. I said, no, you can't cross your own picket line within 90 minutes. It's been 90 minutes, and you didn't get any of your concessions. Nobody was going to apologize to him, and he was going to cross his own picket line.
Yep.
I will say that I really appreciated some of the signs that he brought in yesterday. The picket line signs were very, very good.
Correct.
Actually, some of his best work ever.
Agreed.
Say sorry or I will not cross this pig kit line, yeah. P-I-G. Permission to apologize granted.
That probably is my favorite one.
Especially because he misspelled apologize.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. He spelled it A-P-O-L-I-G-I-Z-E. There's an O in there.
See, I thought I did a spell check on that one. I thought he got it right.
Nope.
Okay.
Enjoy your day.
I apologize.
Mraz also wrote in a sign, not saying sorry is football food for the weak. Mm-hmm. W-E-A-K.
Yep.
Excellent pun. He also wrote, no colder open than not saying sorry to your friend. And no apology equals no year of the buffoon. Hashtag permission to be bored. B-O-R-E-D. Again, these are good puns. And then perhaps my two favorites. Quote, Pete stinks as audio director.
I didn't see that one.
And even more succinctly, Ridgely sucks.
Yeah.
This is a listener of ours who came in to volunteer his time doing Mraz's job and doing it well. And Mraz had a sign that said, Ridgely sucks. So we stand here today and ask this question. Will Mraz make history today? Labor history. Will he cross his own picket line without any concessions from us after 1 day's strike?
I mean, it seems like a big day because Sean's wearing an unironed shirt, so that seems like he's prepared for big things.
Right in the closet.
Now, Pete the Body Bilotti, being closer to management than both you or I are.
Correct.
Has a management's brain. And he had the very bright idea of when Mraz finally crosses back and becomes part of the show, we will have him sign a declaration. We shall call it a declaration of pig appendage. And in this, he will have to concede a few things, namely apologizing to us for the problems he created.
Okay.
Seems fair, right?
It does.
And there might be one or two other things thrown in there show related. We have this stamped by actual management.
Okay.
So we will bestow upon Mraz this declaration of pig appendage. And if he concedes to it and puts his name to it, he is allowed back on the show. Okay? And he can open up his microphone and we can have takes for days and his commentary and opinions. If he decides not to, he remains on strike.
See, now I was going to suggest this to you as a condition of his return. Since he took himself out of yesterday, I don't think he should be allowed, whenever he gets back on a microphone, back in full status on this show, to go back and address things he would have addressed yesterday. Like his time to talk about Jason Garrett as Giants OC and John Kincaid's takedown, that has passed.
Oh.
That should have been addressed Monday. There should be no retroactive takes from Sean.
Huh.
When he's back from that moment moving forward. If somehow Jason Garrett's situation comes back up again, we get to September, new games, that's all well and good. But I don't think there should be any, I got to go catch up on my takes. Sunday happened, Saturday happened, Monday happened, all while he was on strike. So all those things are now dead and buried.
Well, that's something to consider. But we will have the declaration of pig appendage. We will read this on the air coming up here next after the update and the break.
Our friend Zach Martin's a notary public, I believe, if you need him to sign this officially.
Minister Zach.
Yes.
And we'll see if Mraz agrees to the conditions. Andrew Bogish is standing by with your headlines. Good morning, Andrew.
DA, good morning. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Now, most of us remember Delonte West, the former NBA and St. Joseph's guard. And most of us remember as well that West has had a number of off-court issues in recent years. Yesterday, videos surfaced online of West apparently getting beat up in the street and then rambling incoherently to police in the Washington, D.C. area. That led to former teammate Jameer Nelson and former head coach Phil Martelli posting on social media promising to find help for West. On the court last night, Damian Lillard, a big night for the Blazers with the Warriors in town.
Dame brings it up. It's a screen from Whiteside. Goes left. Crossover. Three for the tie. Got it! A new career high with 11 threes made by Damian Lillard. He's got 57.
That is Travis Demers on Blazers Radio. That 11-3 sent the game to overtime where Lillard scored four more points for a 129-124 victory over those Warriors. The 61 points and 11 threes are single-game Blazer records. The previous high score was 60. By Damian Lillard.
I guess if somebody gonna beat my record, it's good to be me.
Lillard scored 60 against the Nets earlier this season, so he is just the sixth player ever with two 60-point games in a season. The Lakers took it on the chin in Boston last night, 139-102. It happened, says LeBron.
It was just a good old old-fashioned butt-whooping, that's all.
Jason Tatum scored 27 as the Celtics snapped the three-game slide. Anthony Davis was back for the Lakers. Obviously didn't matter that much. 23 minutes, 9 points, 4 rebounds after missing 5 games with that bruised backside. The Spurs blew a 20-point lead, then won in Phoenix, 120-118. The Jazz dumped the Pacers, 118-88. And the Pelicans outscored the Grizzlies, 126-116. New Orleans has won 11 of 15 with Zion making his debut tomorrow night. Baylor is the seventh team to sit atop the AP College Hoops top 25. The Bears jumping Gonzaga this week, then went out and survived Oklahoma 61-57. The Bears have won 15 in a row. Kansas, unbeaten San Diego State, and Florida State complete the top five this week. Number 24 Rutgers ranked for the first time since the final poll of the 78-79 season. It was a busy Monday for NFL defensive coordinators. DMP's retiring after 47 years on the sideline, the last two running the Titans defense.
Think about this. It's been 50 years since the Chiefs went to a Super Bowl, and that feels like an impossibly long time ago. Dean Pease has been on the sideline coaching for only three fewer years.
Now, he did retire once before and almost immediately unretired to join Mike Vrabel in Tennessee, so we'll see if this one sticks. The Panthers gave their DC job to Phil Snow, who ran Matt Rule's defenses at Baylor and Temple as well, and the Texans reportedly replacing Romeo Crennel with D-line coach Anthony Weaver. Nolan Arenado is unhappy, saying there is too much disrespect from the Colorado Rockies front office for him right now. The all-world third baseman disappointed the team didn't make any major move this offseason after going 71-91 last year. Arenado does not care, the team said yesterday. It's not going to trade him. The Astros interviewed Dusty Baker for their managerial job yesterday. The Braves signed former Mariners ace Felix Hernandez, and the new class of Hall of Famers revealed tonight. The Florida Panthers, a 5-4 win in Minnesota, and on day two of the Aussie Open, wildcard Maria Sharapova loses in straight sets to the 19 seed Donna Vekic. Simona Halep, Madison Keys, Rafael Nadal safely in round two. DA?
Thank you, Andrew. When we return, we will read through the Declaration of Pig Appendage and see if Mraz will agree to the terms. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
New time slot, same great taste.
Really dope that you guys got the morning gig. I'm a big fan of yours. Been listening to you ever since the overnight.
Love hearing you early in the morning. It makes my day a lot better.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
I highly encourage you to be watching the show today on a Trash Tuesday. We'll get to your trashes throughout the morning, and you can watch us. That's available on your phone or any smart device. WatchDA.com. No sign-up needed, no subscription fee. No cable provider needed to insert. Just watch us for free at watchda.com. It's a Trash Tuesday. Captain January tweets, pre-trashing the Super Bowl storylines we'll be sick of by this Friday. Reed's redemption, father and son Shanahan, Tyreek is a changed man, and boy, that George Kittle sure is a character.
Illegal dumping.
All of those will absolutely be burned into our brains by the end of next week. Aaron tweets, I'm trashing the Mexican place I ate at the other day. What seemed like a good meal later turned into gas so heavy you could hear it when they hit the ground. My office air freshener basically useless against that assault. Hashtag stinky debris.
I smell rotten eggs.
Robin Topeka tweets, I believe Mraz's strike is a stunt and a poor attempt to deflect from the SAT test. Mraz will be taking the SAT test the Thursday following the Super Bowl. Michael tweets, I want to trash the people that take up the diesel fuel pumps that are meant for commercial trucks. Not your pickup truck, man. Trash Tuesday.
So frustrating.
We've got our trashes coming up in approximately 2 hours from now, but we are accepting all of your trashes throughout the morning. So I've got the CBS Sports Radio Declaration of Pig Appendage in front of me right now. I'm holding it in my hand. And Mraz has been trying to wrestle Bilotti behind the scenes for one of these. He's on strike. He has been on strike, although I will give him credit today. He did send out a topic list. However, if he does not agree to the conditions set forth by management here, then the strike will continue. He will be off air, off mic, and we will once again take over his duties. As we proved yesterday, that is not a difficult task. So here we go. Mraz, if you agree to these, we will hand you these now. If you agree to these, just give me a thumbs up. And if you agree to all four of the conditions, then four thumbs up, you sign to the dotted line, and your microphone is open. Number one, CBS Sports Radio Management has decreed the following punishment of the Sean Mraz personal strike incident. Mr. Mraz must, number one, execute all DA show, pre, in-show, post-show production tasks from Wednesday through Friday. That includes tomorrow, Thursday, Friday. His normal duties, editing the cold open, editing sound check,
writing and organizing live read copy, which had been Mraz's duties, now has turned into Bilotti's duties, setting up studio equipment like the drop machine, watch DA's cameras and lights and banners, and writing and uploading podcast material. All of this seems very easy to accept. Cannot go on mic. Thumbs up, thumbs down. It's a thumbs down. Okay, well, and we move on.
Oh, hold on. No, there's a reason.
Microphone is off. Cut the microphone. He's on strike. Microphone is off. If you have a challenge, you can then send your challenge through management, and we will look at this with the labor lawyers. This has been put forth by the labor lawyers. Now, he is getting aggressive. He's yelling at Bilotti right now, but the microphone cannot go on. You are on strike.
He's doing this to himself.
He is smashing the paper down on the desk. If you have some type of complaint, you have to go through the labor lawyers. We did this properly, Mraz. We did this properly. Now, would you like me to continue? Just give me a thumbs up or a thumbs down on condition number one. This seems very obvious. Okay, that's a thumbs up. Okay. It's not a big deal. It's your responsibilities normally. While you're rubbing your nose, that does not somehow negate it. Is he trying to pull a fast one here, Bilotti?
He's trying to put his thumb down underneath the computer, too.
Is it a thumbs up? Give me a thumbs up on condition number one. He's trying to put a thumbs up simultaneously as a thumbs down. Sorry, that's not how this works. We can move on to number two, number three, number four, which are seemingly very easy to accept. Yes. So number one, thumbs up. Yes. Okay. Number two, apologize to the on-air show staff for your reasons behind the strike and the ramifications of the strike itself. That seems like an easy one. Again, all you're doing is apologizing for the strike and that we have been forced to do your work for a day.
I'm interpreting what he's doing back here. He also says he has a backwards way of doing that.
A backwards way of apologizing. Okay, but you have a thumbs up, two thumbs up, and there is no crossing your fingers under the desk to negate it or crossing your toes. These are full thumbs up in agreement. Yes, correct? Okay. Number three, should the show decide to eat Andy Reid's signature mac and cheese, which we were thinking about doing sometime before the Super Bowl, you must excuse yourself from the consumption. You may consume mac and cheese, Andy Reid's signature, post-Super Bowl. So if we eat it on show, on air, you're just not allowed to have any of that. You're giving me a thumbs up. Okay, this is all good. And finally, number four. You must approach a Pro Football Hall of Fame quarterback in Miami or a former Green Bay Packer and show him the infamous birdseed picture that created the Aaron Rodgers get away from me buddy incident. At this time, you must apologize to the player for putting the curse on Aaron Rodgers from 2016 through 2019. So if there's an Edgar Bennett, a Leroy Butler, if there's a former Pro Football Hall of Fame quarterback, a Roger Staubach, a Terry Bradshaw, you must show them the picture of Aaron Rodgers or you in a Speedo with birdseed, the one that you showed Aaron Rodgers to, and you must apologize to that person for putting the jinx on Aaron Rodgers. And that got a thumbs up as well. Now, I feel like there's funny business behind the scenes here, so we will discuss whether we're fully on board with this coming up here next on the DA Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.